Herzlich willkommen zu deinem Podcast Why Yoga for more body, mind and soul awareness. Schön, dass du eingeschaltet hast. Ich bin Jessica Dieterich und zusammen mit Isabel Panther steigen wir jeden Mittwoch tiefer in die Welt von Yoga ein. Heute teilen wir mit dir die zweite Folge des zweiteiligen Interviews mit Lina. Es geht weiter mit mehr Input von unserer australischen Yoga-Lehrerin und Doktorin. Heute erklärt dir Lina, was die drei Körper und fünf Hüllen von Yoga sind, welche Effekte Pranayama auf unseren Körper und unsere Seele aus der medizinischen und spirituellen Sicht hat. Außerdem teilt Lina am Ende mit dir eine wichtige Botschaft, wie du Gelerntes durch eigene Erfahrungen integrieren kannst. Diese Folge ist auf Englisch. Auf YouTube findest du die Folge mit Video und deutschem Untertitel. Wenn dir diese Folge gefallen hat, dann schau auf unserem Instagram-Profil _whyyoga_ vorbei und kommentiere unter dem heutigen Beitrag, welche Erkenntnisse du mitgenommen hast. Wir freuen uns sehr über den Austausch mit dir. Und jetzt geht's schon los. Ganz viel Spaß mit der zweiten Folge.
Let's go back to your own yoga practice. Like, I know that you're practicing for yourself, but you're teaching also. Like, what is there right now in your own practice that you're dealing with or what you're focusing on? Let us be part of your own yoga practice a little bit.
So it's been very interesting time. I was showing Jess this earlier, but I've hurt my hand about 2 weeks ago. And that really threw a spanner in the works initially. Like, I was initially totally okay. And I was like, look, let it be. It's obviously happened for a reason and I can't really change it right now. But as you can probably imagine, it's very difficult to do yoga without having use of your hand. So downward dog and any other sort of, you know, even doing cat-cow is virtually impossible. And it's more about adapting to change. So the same thing, like I sat with it and I recognized that I was feeling very frustrated. But I knew that if I were patient and I just let myself feel it, move away from it, that something else would happen. So what I focused on was pranayama and meditation and lots of journaling. And until I felt that urge, that calling, which was probably about a week later, I started mucking around on my yoga mat and just getting interested in what it was like to not use my hands. And now I am embodying this very creative streak where all of my yoga practices have been pretty wild, actually. Creativity, and I'm really enjoying every single moment because a lot of things. So I really love inversions. I'm just going to put it out there, like handstands, headstands, anything, you name it, Pinjamayurasana, like from an asana perspective, I love that stuff. And when that's taken away, I was just like, oh, maybe this is a time for me to work on a lot of standing postures that I've been avoiding for a long time. And that's totally okay. And now I love them. So, yeah, everything will pass. Everything adapts to change. And the sooner you become non-attached to your expectations, to your outcomes, to your disappointments, the faster you can become interested in what is actually happening in the present time. And that would be my biggest thing. Yeah.
So lovely. Yeah. I think it's such a good way to discover new corners, right? To see like, okay, now I need to get creative. I cannot use my hands. I mean, I never would try that if I'm not injured, right? That's cool.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I was like, what? No downward dog? That is so... It's my resting posture. I love this. It's like a feeling. But now Tadasana is my home and I am totally cool with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So nice. Is there So you're teaching yoga as well. And I was wondering if there's anything of your medicine knowledge that influences your yoga or your part of being yoga teacher when you teach people. Is there anything you can explain it?
Yes. So I think coming from a surgical background, especially with orthopedics, there's an element of perfectionism. And for me, I appreciate and I feel very humbled by the fact that I know the body quite well, not only through medicine, but more particularly because I've been operating on different parts of the body for quite a long time. To have that sort of innate understanding makes me or encourages me to ensure that my cues are really on point and that there's a rationale for not only every posture but of how the flow works, what feels good in the body, so that I'm always creating harmony and not trying to take away or create harm, the converse of harmony, right? To cause harm to the body. So for me, ensuring the activation or the deactivation of core, of pelvic alignment, of overall body alignment is, following a greater purpose through my sequencing to ensure that what I want to achieve. Does that make sense? Sorry, I know I'm getting a little bit vague, but to ensure that the purpose of my class is being achieved in a really fruitful way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Focusing on all of the sort of micro minutia with careful cueing and careful sequencing to try and achieve my desired outcome.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of almost anatomically focused. Does that make sense? That's what I think the medicine and the orthopedic surgery is bringing into my teaching.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. I was just remembering that once I took a yoga teacher training about yin yoga. And yin yoga, for those listeners who don't know it, it's more about relaxing and really don't use your muscle power. It's really just fall into the deepen of the stretch. So, and there that teacher taught me that we have a lot of people, they are like so different in their body, you know, for example, the squat. There are people, they cannot put their heels on the ground in a squat just because they cannot, because of their bones, you know, anatomically. So how are you dealing with that? Is there anything in your cues or in the way you're teaching that is coming to your mind because you know, okay, the bodies are different?
Absolutely. So through using that particular example, I would just give options. And as I slowly understand my students more and understand their bodies more, it's almost like an unspoken agreement, like giving an option instead of arms overhead with chair, just keeping the hands in prayer. If you can't reach your heels down to the mat, you know, in downward dog, that's totally okay because spinal alignment is more important. Just keep your heels lifted, bend your knees. And I think it's through that awareness of ensuring that you do have those options available, that you can sort of impart more trust in your student-teacher relationship. And as I said, there's a mutual respect. There's a mutual respect there, knowing your limitations and also encouraging students to raise, you know, any concerns, to raise the issues that they've got, to identify what their issues are so that I can help work with them.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, nice. In our pre-chat that we had, you were talking about your last teacher training, the 50 hours, right? And you were saying something so beautifully that there are, in the yoga philosophy, that there are three different bodies. Can you just tell again about that, what you learned? Because I think it's such a beautiful way of seeing the body. And I think our listeners should know that as well.
Sure thing. So there are three bodies and there's five sheaths. I'll try to simplify everything as much as I can. But we start with the physical body, the gross body. And this body is what you can see and feel. It's your structural building blocks. And the sheath that aligns with this is your food sheath. So it's how you nourish your body, what exercises you're doing or what asana practices you're doing to try and maintain your fitness to keep your actual body healthy. Because obviously if that is not aligned, then that has secondary effects on your mind and so forth. Your second body is more of the subtle body. And the subtle body is one that you cannot see. So it involves how you breathe, how you feel when you breathe, and how you connect your mind to everything. So one of the key learning things that I took out of my teacher training was how powerful our tendencies are. So we call them vasanas. And there's samskaras as well, your lesser tendencies. And this can be your daily habits. Like if you even notice that you'll have a set way of how you shower, you know, how you wash your hair, how you brush your teeth. And they're, that's okay. But they can become much more bigger. So this can be, you know, alcohol addiction, sex addiction, violence, and things that, you know, have happened in your ancestry or, you know, things that happened in your childhood that really affect who you are today. And they can be so strong. This also includes religion as well and your faiths, your beliefs. And if they feed in a negative way with your ego, then it overpowers your lower intellect to drive and make true that tendency or that habit. And it can simply be, you know, having a habit of collecting and purchasing a chocolate bar every single time you leave the supermarket and saying, oh, you know, that's okay. But then it almost, it's such a strong desire that you can't stop doing that. And you know that your body is becoming unhealthy, but the ego is so powerful that you can't help it. And then that then causes guilt, fear, anxiety, depression, and so forth. And what yoga teaches us is to try and digest these, to get rid of them, to let them all go, so that your buddhi, which is your higher consciousness, can really act from a place that of goodwill to drive how you act around other people, how you treat your body, all of those things. And then the last body containing the last sheath is your innermost. So this is the one that reaches to your ultimate reality, your core. That is your actual inner being. And that is what we call enlightenment. But all of these sheaths, all of these bodies, it takes a while to understand them and to know them. And what was described to me is that these five sheaths within these bodies, they're like little lampshades that cloud the inner being, your actual truth, your source. And as you start to make peace with them, understand them, befriend them, these lampshades turn clear. unclouding everything until you get into your actual self. And obviously it's so much easier said than done. And I am still very much at the beginning of my journey as well. And, you know, we have a lifetime to be able to live all of this. And if not, we reincarnate. That is a belief in yoga, that we reincarnate so that we can continue working on these.
Yeah. Very, very beautiful. Because it's actually what you just described, exactly what is our goal with that podcast, right? It's why yoga for more body, mind, and soul awareness. And it's like those three things that influence each other. And yeah, it's so much to learn about it. Yeah. Very beautiful.
Definitely. I find what I was telling Jess earlier is that the more we understand, the less we know. But that then drives more curiosity and a thirst for knowledge. And, you know, one day at one point we will hopefully reach that position where we are, you know, with like at one with everything and having complete non-attachment.
Yeah, exactly. That's it's a progress. It's not about getting to the goal. It's about just living it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's all about the present moment and all of the experiences that come with it.
I was thinking you were talking about pranayama and meditation. Can we light that a little bit from the medical perspective as well? Like, is there any effect, like, or I mean, there is an effect, but what is that effect like when we do meditation or pranayama? What is happening that we, you know, get calm? Is there any other side effects on the body as well?
So once again, the more I know, the less I know. So I will do my best.
Sure.
I think, I hope that pranayama and I hope that meditation is calm, but in reality, it can be far from being calm. And the reason why I say this is when you do certain pranayamas and sometimes emotions, undesired emotions, undesired tendencies, they arise up into the surface. And that can cause changes and can cause a lot of emotional stress on the body. And the purpose of, I guess, focusing your attention on your breath is obviously to get increase your prana, your energy, your life force, but to also to be able to digest and to assimilate things, and ultimately to have a calmer mind that is single-pointed when you meditate. And I can tell you right now, like with my meditation, I am far from being super calm. My mind is going left, right, and center. And that is totally okay, because emotions arise, fears arise. And this is a process of, as I said, of digesting and of eradicating your vasanas. So for those people that think that, yes, meditation can be very centering and so forth, it can also equally not be as well. And any form of that spectrum is okay. What I would recommend is getting guidance, having guided meditations, especially if you're new to it, because doing it off on your ether, like alone, without having, you know, the support and the knowledge behind it, can be a very, very daunting thing. And if really scary experiences come up and you don't know how to digest that, I think it can be quite harmful. So what I would say with pranayama is that they all serve a purpose. All of it is towards calming the mind and getting closer to, you know, the end goal of being enlightened, having that complete non-attachment, that everything is good no matter adverse or good. But along the way, there may be things that rise up to the surface, and that is also part of the point of doing the breath work. Does that, I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, I was also wondering, like, there, well, there, like, the blood pressure, that has effects on the blood pressure as well, you know, like when you deepen your breath. And anything, I don't know if you can say something about that, or maybe I'm wrong, I'm not sure.
No, it's absolutely true. So it just talks really from a medical perspective about your thoracic cavity and the pressures that you're creating within the aorta and the inferior vena cava, so whatever pumps the blood back up towards the heart. So obviously when everything is contracted, does that make sense? When everything is contracted, the blood can free more flowly. Whereas if you're inflating your lungs, okay, there is a higher pressure there that is preventing the blood from flowing back up. And it's that has a effect. So this is all just part of the circulatory system. Your blood pressure will wax and wane. But your blood pressure is also affected by so many other things as well, not simply by just your breathing. It's largely affected by, your catecholamines, so stuff within your parasympathetic and your sympathetic nervous system as well, your stress levels, what other sort of daily activities you perform, the exercises that you perform, how you eat. So I think there's multiple reasons why your blood pressure per se can be affected, but from a breath perspective only, it's directly related with the amount of pressure that is within your thoracic cage. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you for the explanation.
Yeah, that makes more sense, but how do you try another go?
Yeah. Is there anything that I haven't asked and you would like to tell to the listeners because you have that experience, or I don't know, is there anything that you want to tell us?
Probably yes and no. So I was telling Jess, I think it was before the recording, that you learn through experience. Ultimately, you have to make your own judgment calls as to what you feel is good for you and is not good for you. But it's that process of keeping an open mind, of being able to take in all of the various sources of information, digesting it before coming up with your own formula, your own opinion. And, it doesn't have to be black and white. It doesn't have to be right or wrong. So, I would invite you to, instead of just listening, I would invite you to actually experience all of these things, test them out, make your theories, but be open to any sort of outcome that becomes available, and just get curious in the process. Enjoy every step of the way and just be present with it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I don't know what else I can say. Just live. Just, yeah, enjoy every moment as you live.
Yeah. It's so nice. I really appreciate your knowledge and everything you shared with us. It was really, really deep and I really liked it. I think I need to listen to that podcast again to understand things that maybe just, passed me because I took my focus on another thing. I thank you so much for this.
No worries at all, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in person soon.
Yeah, I hope so too. One last question.
Yeah.
What are you thankful right now for?
I'm thankful for myself. I'm really thankful for myself. I'll just shed a light over something that has just been happening to me over the past week that I hadn't actually shared with Jess before the recording. I have spent about the last 2 years, as I said, really transforming my life and getting really comfortable with not knowing where my life direction would end up, and just accepting that unknown and letting it unfold organically. But similarly, on this note, I've avoided relationships and intimacy for this period of time as well. And about a week and a half ago, I had a very intimate relationship with someone who it really took me by surprise. And that's when everything, pardon the rude word, but it got real. And I realized how much work I needed to do, because all of my fears, all of my vasanas came straight up to the surface. And it took this one experience, beyond that of my yoga teacher training, beyond that of moving homes, beyond changing careers, for it all to rise to the surface. And I realized that it wasn't anyone to blame. It was just my ego. And my ego held on to all of these fears and all of these limiting beliefs. And I've just spent this last week really just sitting with myself, journaling, doing yoga, meditating, and really trying to understand where these came from. And same thing, no judgment, no drama, letting myself feel stressed to finally come to a place of accepting, you know, exactly where I am meant to be right now. So there you go.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. I really like, you know, how you explain it, and I can really feel that you work so much on yourself. Like, I don't know why, but I can feel this calmness and that reflection you put on yourself over and over. It just sweeps over. I can feel it.
So much, yes.
Yeah. I thank you so much for this beautiful interview, for your time, and yeah, as you said, I hope we see each other in person soon again.
Me too. Have a really lovely day.